This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, Erlene McMichael interviews organizers of the new Kalamazoo Black Business Expo being held this Saturday to encourage African Americans to become entrepreneurs. But first, the 2018 primary election may end up being remembered for turnout as much as anything. The final figures are still unknown, but the state estimates that more than 2 million people cast votes on Tuesday. We're going to get some primary analysis from Western Michigan University political science professors John Clark and Peter Wheelhauer. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks, Gordon.
Always a pleasure.
Could turnout in a primary tell us anything about what could or might happen in November? John, you want to start?
Well, it certainly could tell us, and we never know exactly for sure what it's going to tell us until we get there. But I think one of the things that we see with turnout here in Michigan, but also turnout in other states as they hold elections throughout the summer, is that people are engaged in politics in a way that we don't often see in a mid-year election cycle. When we get to the presidential election years, people are at least paying attention to who's running for president. But oftentimes, mid-year election or midterm elections go under the radar. And what we're seeing now is a level of excitement on both sides, both Republicans and Democrats, that we often don't see. My guess is that's going to lead to a much more animated campaign season and higher turnout in November at the general election stage.
I think that's right. The big story of the year seems to be the excitement on the Democratic side, but it seems pretty clear that Donald Trump and the grassroots within the Republican Party is able to generate responsively to that, generate votes responsively to that, so that they are turning out just as well. And so you're seeing extremely competitive races where people are talking about very strong Democratic turnout, but it's really both sides.
Now let's take a look here at a couple of races in Southwest Michigan. Matt Longjohn is the Democratic nominee in the 6th Congressional District and will challenge Fred Upton in November. Does his win tell us anything about what Democrats are likely to do in the fall, John?
Well, I think we're likely to see an engaged set of Democratic voters. The challenge always in the 6th Congressional District is, can you get enough Democrats and enough folks who are neither Democratic identifiers or Republican identifiers to turn out on Election Day? Fred Upton does a pretty good job of not only mobilizing Republicans, getting support of Republicans, but also winning independent voters. So that's definitely going to be the challenge, as it is every time. But higher Democratic turnout, a mobilized base, and if it is a good year for Democrats, that could be a good sign for the 6th District Democrats.
Matt Longjohn is going to have the same problem that Democrats have in the 6th District and have for a long time. That is, it's a district that's largely been drawn in order to elect and reelect and reelect Fred Upton, Republicans generally, but Fred Upton specifically. And there has not been the fundraising capability to really take on an entrenched incumbent with a very large war chest like Fred Upton. So those are two really large hills to climb in terms of Matt Longjohn's ability to be successful.
Fred Upton is a Republican who never actually endorsed Donald Trump for president, even through the November election in 2016. Many of those Republicans ended up facing primary challenges, and that actually worked its way down to the state House level in this neck of the woods. Dave Maturin, who had also never endorsed Trump, he actually said that sitting in this very studio, that he wouldn't say who he was voting for, but did say that he could not endorse Donald Trump. He ended up being defeated on Tuesday by Matt Hall. How rare is it even, you know, especially in the term limits era when, you know, people aren't going to be there that long, and oftentimes people will kind of wait for their shot, to see an incumbent state representative defeated?
It doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen very often at the congressional level. It doesn't happen very often at the state legislative level either. And as you point out, Gordon, with the advent of term limits here in Michigan, there's always going to be an open seat coming soon. And oftentimes it's easier to win an open seat both at the primary level and at the general election level than it is to defeat an incumbent in a primary or in a general election contest. So it is pretty unusual. One of the other things, though, that's pretty unusual is that Matt Hall, the challenger, raised an awful lot of money, at least for a state legislative primary, and was able to go on television and to, you know, sort of introduce himself on his own terms in what really in some ways is an information-starved political environment, was enough to convince a number of folks in that district that he was the guy.
So Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly, in his concession video, which he put out Tuesday night, congratulated Bill Schuette and told the people who had campaigned for him that they had to accept that this is President Trump's Republican Party now. Peter, as we look at that 63rd State House District race where David Matern was defeated running for re-election, and also look at Donald Trump endorsing Bill Schuette, who won big. Maybe his endorsement didn't mean much there. But then John James, who was in a pretty tight race for the Republican primary for U.S. Senate, defeated Sandy Pentzler. Can we say that this is Donald Trump's Republican Party, especially in Michigan right now?
Well, I think that the sitting president is always the head, considered to be the head of their national political party. In the case of Donald Trump, we really have a situation where you have an extremely unusual person at the head of the, as a titular head of the political party. We've seen that he can make a difference, that his endorsement makes a difference in terms of who wins and who loses, that in the Republican primaries, we know that Republican primary voters are quite conservative and they are diehard Republicans, and that Donald Trump has brought in a new cohort of people into the Republican Party and has alienated a different cohort from the Republican Party, and that the net effect of that it means that the people who are in voting in the Republican primaries are more like Trump than they were 5 years ago. And so as a result, we have seen the case where we've got primaries at the state legislative race, in the congressional races, Senate races, and so forth, in which connection to Donald Trump is seen as a badge of honor within the Republican Party candidates. And the people who are ambivalent or are perceived to be ambivalent about him, they really run a risk with the Republican voters when they aren't willing to back the president.
And I think one of the interesting wrinkles on this is that while certainly it helps at the primary stage, what's the impact going to be at the general election? There are a number of particularly legislative districts that are drawn in ways that it's going to be hard for whoever wins that Republican nomination to lose the general election. And the same thing is certainly true on the Democratic side in terms of redistricting. But in those races that are in districts that are more evenly balanced between Republicans and Democrats, what's going to happen to those voters who don't think of themselves as either Republicans or Democrats? If they are folks who are favorable at the time of the general election to Donald Trump, then that certainly would help a Republican candidate. But if they're not, then that might help a Democrat to win, even in a district where we would expect a Republican typically to be successful. That's, at this point, still the unknown, but it also creates some interesting challenges for Republican candidates as they think about how they want to frame their general election strategy.
What we know from watching candidates over the last 40 or 50 years is that, in general, in primaries, Republicans tend to run to the right, Democrats tend to run to the left, and then for the general elections, they tend to run to the center to try to capture those middle voters who are not primary voters. I think the challenge for Republicans this year is that it's not an ideological race. I mean, they call themselves conservatives, but Donald Trump is not particularly conservative in his long history. He's pursuing some conservative policies now, but now he is the compass, if you want, of Republican orthodoxy. And so I think that a lot of Republicans are now saying, in order to win the primary, I have to align myself with Donald Trump, but how deftly can I pivot to some kind of weird ideological Trumpian center that will enable them to not alienate enough people to win in the fall? That's going to be a challenge. It depends on the quality of the candidates. If it turns out that some of the Republican candidates who won their primaries are people like Todd Akin, who make significant strategic and messaging mistakes, or Christine O'Donnell, who just make terrible errors in their campaigning, then they're not going to win. But if they turn out to be reasonably good, consistent, and reliable candidates, then they can bank on a certain percentage of the Republican vote. And then the rest of it is really trying to build coalitions.
Might it, though, get tricky when you look at President Trump's approval ratings in places like Michigan? It's not very high. I don't have it in front of me, but I think high 30s, maybe low 40s, somewhere in there. And at the same time, trying to generate enthusiasm on your side. I mean, do you really walk a fine line? Because the enthusiasm gap is one of the things that has Republicans concerned. One way to mitigate that may be to animate the hardcore supporters of President Trump. But do you then run the risk of playing into that rather low approval rating of the president's?
Well, here's where Donald Trump has been really an interesting campaigner for Republican candidates during the whole set of special elections that we've seen over the last 18 months or so, where his imprimatur on a candidate can kind of make or break the candidate, but his involvement, his willingness to campaign, to endorse, to tweet on behalf of individual candidates drives some turnout. And that has made a difference. It's made races that might not have been close, closer. And it's made turnout that would have been mediocre, a little bit better than mediocre. And even without going to the place where Donald Trump claims credit for all of these wins and all these victories, I think that it's easy to say that a lot of the differences that we've seen in some of the elections have been because of his involvement. So my big question then is, what does that look like when you're talking about trying to spread out that energy, that ability to mobilize, that ability to influence people and get people excited when you're talking about 100 races as opposed to one or two races here or there for a little while? You're talking about a sustained 2 or 3 month campaign on a lot of races all over the country in all kinds of districts. It'll be interesting to see if Donald Trump can sustain that kind of energy and excitement in that context.
And the flip side of that Trump effect late on behalf of Republican candidates is that a number of these races should not have been close at all. They should have been easy wins for Republicans, but for the Trump presidency, which allowed Democrats to make those races a lot closer than most people would have expected. If Trump sort of comes in at the end and consolidates that Republican support and a Republican ekes out a narrow victory, then he can take credit for that. But the fact that it was a narrow victory is also something that is his responsibility in a negative way, I suppose.
And we've seen a lot of races where that's the case, where race after race, the difference is much closer. Now, in some of those analyses, I sometimes wonder if they're kind of cherry picking the results. So MSNBC's analysis last night, they were all comparing the difference in the Republican turnout this year with the 2016 presidential election year with a lot more information. To me, that seems kind of, that's not really a fair comparison. You want to look at the previous 2014 as a better comparison, but it doesn't allow you to control for Donald Trump. And so that becomes part of the problem. I think the biggest issues that are related to the Republicans this year have something to do with President Trump's approval or disapproval ratings, but also have to do with just historical patterns. We know that the president's party just runs huge risks during a midterm election year, and in particular, when you've got a large number of seats that are exposed like the Republicans do this year. Large number of retirements, and that's really putting a lot more seats in play this year than we've otherwise seen. And that's going to make things tougher for the Republicans. The countervailing effects of a pretty good economy, it's unclear that that's going to be able to overcome just the scale of the exposure and Donald Trump's differential approval ratings in these different states.
And that larger factor of who's sitting in the White House seems to be especially true in Michigan, where in our lifetimes, there have only been a very small number of cases where the governorship has, which is in, you know, midterm elections, has been won by a candidate from the president's party. Almost never happens. And that seems like it would be a good sign for Gretchen Whitmer and for the Democrats, irrespective of the fact that it's Donald Trump who is the Republican in the White House rather than just some Republican.
John Clark and Peter Wielhauer are political science professors at Western Michigan University. Thank you both. We'll have a lot to talk about in the fall.
You bet.
Thanks, Gordon.
More coverage of Tuesday's primary can be found at our website. There's also a longer version of the conversation with John Clark and Peter Wielhauer. They weigh in on the best news and most concerning developments in Tuesday's primary for both the Republican and Democratic parties. That's at WMUK.org.